And I don't know about you, but I really, not hold them on a pedestal, but I really condone or acknowledge or look up to Paul and the life that he lived for the Lord and the fruit that he had come from his life. I mean, writing like half the Bible is pretty amazing, right? So he knew the presence of God, and he knew what it was to fight the good fight of faith. And so he's just somebody that I just really, really look up to. And this is something that he said that is just resonating with me in my heart today, and because of what the Lord spoke to me, and I'll share that in a second. But 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul said, "For I have decided while I was with you, I forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who is crucified." I'm sure there's all of us have many, many, many things that can fill our agenda for the day. Many of us, and Paul, you know, I'm sure he could be doing many things, spending time with family or going out for dinner, or you could be going golfing on a beautiful day like this, or, you know, whatever. There's so many things that we could fill our day with, but Paul made a decision on this day, and he declares it to everybody. I decided, while I'm with you, I'm only going to do one single thing, and that is to focus on Jesus Christ and the fact that he was crucified. So he declares that, and he's really living, what he's doing is he's living by example on how he lives his life, and he's speaking it out into existence so that people can learn from him, that people can grow from his example. I've read many places, but something the Lord's really bringing back to my, for me to acknowledge is, how did he have such a successful ministry? How did he have such a successful walk with the Lord? How did the things that he went through, shipwreck, mob, left for dead, you know, thrown into prison numerous times, how did that not move him? How did he have such a successful ministry? And the Lord's just ministering to my heart about that today, and so I'm excited. So that's the title of my message, is Focus on Me. It's because I was taking a walk, and I heard two things. The first, other than all these scriptures that started rolling up in my spirit. So I'm like taking notes as I'm walking, like the Lord's speaking to me, and I'm like, oh, there's that scripture, and there's that scripture. So I wrote it essentially like walking and taking notes on my phone. But I heard the Spirit of God tell me today. He said, and I was just taking a walk, minding my own business, just, you know, praying in the Spirit, praising the Lord for his beauty, and I heard the Lord say something that blessed my heart. He said, and this is interesting, and I'll show you why. I heard the Spirit of God tell me today, I'm walking in my dad's footsteps. And that was a blessing because, well, obviously I looked up to him and his ministry and his legacy and all that, but literally, I was walking in my dad's footsteps. He used to take us to the very pond that I was at, taking a walk at Greenfield Park. We used to go there and feed the ducks and stuff like that. And, but right after he said that to me, the Lord said that to me, I heard the Lord say to me, just focus on me. And that just kind of rings in my ears because that's what the Lord's telling me. Just focus on me. And he tells me, I'm walking in my dad's footsteps, but he told me, just focus on me. And really on his last day here on earth before he graduated into heaven, that's what he kept on saying to all the kids. All that really matters is what you do for Jesus. All that really matters in this life is Jesus. Just focus on Jesus. And that's what the Lord was speaking to my heart today. And really, that's what Paul did. That's what made him a success. That's what made my dad a success. It's because of a life that is laid down for the Lord Jesus Christ to die for him is to find real life in Christ. Amen? And really, you don't discover the full, and you don't get to walk in the fulfillment of what God's called you to do until you're willing to do that. You might experience here and there the blessings of God and the joy of the Lord and the peace which passes all understanding. You might discover different things in the Word and discover how the Word works for you, but you don't walk in the fullness of what God has for you until you discover, I'm only going to focus on this one thing, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And so that's what Paul did. And really, essentially, what the Lord is telling me is you're walking in your dad's footsteps. That's what he did. I mean, you know him. If you knew him, that's all he wanted to talk about was Jesus. You know, word in the morning, word at the noontime, word when the sun goes down. He could talk it all the time because his focus was the Lord and he loved him so much. So I heard the Lord tell me, just focus on Jesus. You know, Paul said he was the worst of sinners. So I know, and even Paul knew, that the enemy can bring distractions. And sometimes that distraction is your failures or, you know, things that you missed out on, you know, you missed God or things that you did before you were a Christian. And the devil will love to bring that back to your remembrance to try to detour you or get you down or distract you. And really that's what it is. It's a distraction to get your focus off of who? Jesus. And get it onto what the enemy's doing or what he's saying or how he's discouraging you. So Paul said, I'm the worst of all sinners, but yet he's the one that we're looking up to in the word, you know, that we're following in his footsteps. He said, I'm the worst of all sinners, but he found real life hidden in Christ Jesus. He found revelation. He found that supernatural power that was available to him. Why? Why? And that was my question. Why was his life such a success? Why is his ministry such a success? He made a determination and he declared it right there in 1 Corinthians 2:2. I have decided. It was a decision of his heart that I am going to focus on one thing in my life and one thing only. And that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was determined that nothing was going to move him. And that's really what we need to decide in our own hearts, that no matter what ups and downs and hills and valleys we might have, no matter what feelings we might have, whether that's joy and peace or whether that's sorrow and grief, no matter what tries to come, nothing is going to move us. Why? Because our eyes are fixed on one thing and one thing only, and that's Jesus Christ and the fact that he died for you and I. Amen? So I was just really, really blessed. Just right there, that one scripture, I was like, that's how he did it. Because he didn't have the distractions. Yeah, he had the opportunity for distractions, but he didn't allow those things to move him or to refocus his energy on anything else but the mission, which was not impossible with Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 3:13-14, Paul says this. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not yet achieved it. At this point, he hadn't. But I focus, again, here he's saying it again, I focus on one thing. I'm forgetting the past, and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. What is that? Jesus. Sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. I press on to reach the end of this race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling all of us. So this is the same end. We're all reaching that same end. We're all going to either go to heaven or go to hell. And you know, he was pressing forward to what God had called him to, which was heaven, to be seated together with Christ in heavenly places, to your spiritual inheritance, you know, to life and life more abundantly. So he's like, I don't let these things move me. And he's like, I haven't yet achieved this, but this is how I'm living my life. I just focus on him. And I just focus on his plans for my life and his plans for my day. He was all that mattered to Paul. Amen? He was all that mattered. And really, as much as we love our families, you know, and I love my dad and I love him for this, for the example that he set. But as much as he loved us, I really think that whatever the Lord would have him do, even if it were to give his life, he would have done it for the Lord. And really, about 12 years ago, the Lord showed me what he had for me. And I'll be honest, I resisted in the spirit because I had a brand new little family. And my children are little, and I love them so much, and they're a blessing from the Lord. And not that I'm thinking, like, God's going to take them away, but he would take me to do what he's called me to do. And I put on the brakes. I was like, because he was showing me, I know what God says is true. I mean, this is what he has. This is what he wants, you know? And I was like, my instant reaction in my heart was, and here, meanwhile, this man who's like raised the dead numerous times is speaking to me, you have this ministry and God's going to give you this airplane and this and that. And I was just like, but I didn't even have a chance to respond. I went out. I was in Argentina. I went out under the power of God on cement ground. No catchers there. But God ministered to me all these questions, anxieties, things that would distract and detour me. They would come up in my heart, and then God would immediately answer it. And it's as if it happened today. And at that time, I was like, but Lord, where's my family going to go? What are they going to do? And he's like, don't worry about it. They have their place. And I know because of how I am now that in my heart I said yes, but I yet was not willing fully. Because now I'm like, Lord, you're going to take care of them no matter where I go, whether I'm at the top of the world or the bottom of the world, you're going to have them in the palm of your hand. So I am not worried whether they're with me, whether they're not with me. You can have it all, Lord, every part of me. Amen. And really, that's the life he is looking for. And you're not going to find real life hidden in Christ Jesus until you're willing to lay your life down. Literally, lay it down. Give up every single thing that matters anything to you, especially the things that matter to you. Until you reach that point in your heart, you really haven't given him all. We sing, I surrender all. But are you, you know? Are you willing and are you so focused on the Lord that you're willing to surrender it all? And that the surrendering it all might be the things that he's blessed you with, but you want to hold so tight. Or maybe the things that you're going through, the struggles and the troubles that you've seen that you want to hold so tight and you know, keep hidden or keep to yourself or whatever. You got to give him those things too, you know? Paul could have held those things that he went through closely to his heart, been like, I've been through this and I've been through that, you know, and no, but he was like, no, none of these things are going to move me. I am determined to focus my eyes on the high calling of Christ Jesus. Amen. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a plan to fulfill what God has designed each and every one of us to do. And you're not going to fully discover that or walk that out until you're so determined that your eyes are going to stay fixed and that this wind or that wind or this valley or this roadblock that the enemy tries to throw in our path is not going to move us. And I'm not saying you never trip and fall. You might, but you just dust yourself off and you keep on heading forward. Amen. So the Lord is just telling me, just focus on me. And then he starts unfolding to me that this is the life that Paul lived. He just did this one thing. That's where he got the success from. It wasn't in his own strength. It was by the strength and power of the Spirit. But it was because he had one mission and one mission only. And it was not to please self. It was to please the Father. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, I have not yet achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting what lies in the past and looking forward to what is ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So he realized this. He came to a conclusion somewhere in his walk with the Lord, and he decided, I'm not going to let this stuff. He maybe saw some horrible things that were coming against him and really distracting him. I mean, first of all, he started with having a vision of Jesus. That was how he started his Christian life. And has this outright, you know, encounter with the Lord. But somewhere along the line with all these plans and attacks of the enemy, he must have got fed up and been like, you know what, I've been distracted for too long. From this point forward, I'm going to stay determined that none of these things are going to move me. You know, because that's really what the enemy tries to do. What do you think he's going to do? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What's he trying to come to kill, steal, and destroy? The plan that God has for you. the life that God intends for you. Because he says in the rest of the scripture, but the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you would have this life and have it more abundantly. How are you going to find that life except that you stay focused on Christ Jesus? Amen? So the enemy is trying to pull you away from that focus, and that is his main goal, is to pull you away from that focus. So Paul realizes this. He starts finding out this is where his success is, and he starts teaching it. He starts relaying it to the people wherever he goes, that this is all that matters, is to focus on Jesus and what he did for us, and to use the gifts and the callings that God blessed us with and not let them stay dormant. You know, we hear the story of the people with the talents, meaning like the silver and the gold and this and that, but the Lord's looking at talents and abilities too in us. And it's a matter of, are you storing it? Like, yes, God's blessed me with this, but I'm like keeping it hidden and I'm going to bury it in the ground. Nobody's going to know about it. Thank you, Jesus. I sing in the shower, whatever. Or are you going to bless the Lord with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to multiply what he's given you? You know what I mean? Whether that's a gift of hospitality, or whether that's the gift to give, or whether that's the gift to make people feel welcome or encourage or uplift or pray or, you know, preach or whatever it is, you're supposed to be doing it unto the Lord and reproducing what he's given you. Amen? And so that's what Paul discovered. This is the only thing that matters in this life. And really, it is Jesus Christ. And what we do for him and the kingdom of heaven, that is all that's going to count. When we see the Lord on that great day of judgment, he's going to ask us what we did for him. And you know, I want to have something to say. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful with what I've blessed you with. And now I'm going to make you ruler over much. I want to hear that because I want to give him glory because I love him. Amen? And that's what Paul preaches. He's like, I have discovered the meaning of life. Everyone's searching. Every single person in this entire world is searching for the meaning of life. They're searching for fulfillment. And it's all found in Jesus Christ. It's all found in doing what he's called us to do. Philippians 3:8. He says this, and he's so blunt. I mean, think about it. Imagine, I love, if you didn't get to watch The Chosen, the second series has started to happen, and you can watch it on YouTube for free. But the second series started, and I love it. I love the depiction that they give of the different disciples and stuff like that. So please watch this series. It sparks a emotion in you, like, oh my goodness, you know, we're actually disciples. Like, that's us. And just brings the word of God to life. That's awesome. But Paul, I hope they get to possibly do a little bit on Paul too, because they do such a good job with, you know, the different stories they have covered. But Paul, I just imagine, you know, he's one of those disciples, and Jesus has gone away, but he's living this life for the Lord. And he discovers this meaning of life. He discovers, oh my goodness, I can walk in this supernatural power. Oh my goodness, people are getting healed, delivered, saved everywhere I go. People are coming to the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, all simply because they're listening to me. How can I keep this up? How can I relate to others? How I can multiply this? How can I multiply this? And he said, let's take an evaluation of what I'm doing. All I'm doing is focusing on Jesus 24/7. So that's it. That has to be the key, is to focus on Jesus. And listen to this. Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ. Now, was he unthankful for the things God blessed him with? No, he was thankful, you know. He's the one who talks about the different fruits of the Spirit and different, that, you know, he's thankful for what God's blessed him with. He's thankful for life and the food he eats and this and that. But he counted it as worthless if he's not using it for the Lord. You know, our life is not about us. Somewhere along the line, we lost the focus. Even believers lost the focus, and it became about this thing or that thing, when really it's
you know, it is about ministry, but yet it's only about if he tells you to do it, you know? You're seeking the Lord and he's showing you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't just assume that it's this thing or that thing. Trust in the Lord. Seek him and he will show you which path to take. Amen? And so that's what Paul did every day. And guess who else did that? Jesus. Every day. I love they depict Jesus pulling away. Man, those disciples, they did not want him out of their sight. And I'm sure it got annoying. And I love how they depict Jesus in The Chosen, this season two, the first episode. Jesus is like, they're all about to sit down for this big old feast of breakfast. And he's like, well, I'm just going to go for a walk. You know he wants to spend time with his father. And one of the disciples, I don't remember who it was, he's like, oh, I'll be your bodyguard. And he's like, no need, you know, just go sit down. And maybe they give him 5-10 minutes or 20 minutes, I don't know. And he says to them, you just couldn't stay put, could you? Something along that lines, like, you just couldn't, you know, whatever. So he was always, people just wanted to be with him and every moment. But anyways, Paul is stating here again, I mean, we hear him say, and I will say it like 5 more scriptures, it's all Paul saying the same thing in a different way. And probably to different crowds, the same exact thing. Yes, everything else I have found is pointless, except compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ and what I do for him as my Lord and Savior. For his sake, I have decided to discard everything and only just pretty much lay my life down for him. Does it mean like leave your family? No. If the Lord tells you to go on a mission trip, then you go. But he's just basically saying you're willing. Look at Abraham. He gave his son up. He was willing to, he had the knife in his hand to give him up as a sacrifice. God was testing him, you know? And Paul said, this is how you find this kind of life, is your willingness to lay it all out there for the Lord. And look at that, the Lord, that's how the Lord taught me, and the Holy Spirit is manifesting on top of my head. That is how the Lord taught me about and not being worried about my family. He showed me Abraham. He's like, I didn't take him. I'm going to take care of them wherever you are, you know? But it's the willingness to sacrifice and give him what he gave you. He's the one who blessed you with life and breath. He's the one who blessed you with that car or that house. He's the one who gave you that family. So you need to be willing to give it back as an offering. And especially if that's a distraction, you know what I mean? Like, you need to learn to keep Jesus first and him your focus, no matter, and I'm talking to myself, but no matter how busy life can get with the job or the family or whatever it might be, you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit, where is my time with you, so he can show you. Mine's mostly in the morning, but once in a while, you know, I could turn on a show because everybody kind of goes to bed at 9 and my boys are in their caves, their little caves, talking to their friends online and stuff. But no, the Lord sometimes, usually my time's in the morning, but sometimes he tugs at my heart at those times where the house becomes quiet and Clayton and Jude, who are the main ones I'm entertaining and being with, are asleep. And the Lord tugs on my heart. Focus on me. Read that book, study the word, you know, just worship me. And we need to learn to keep him our focus to where nothing else matters. That show doesn't matter, you know. Even though there's no sin in that show and it might be a pure show, it doesn't matter because it's not producing anything helping me grow. It's not producing anything for the kingdom of heaven. So if the Lord's pulling on your heart, then you need to keep him your focus. So Paul's like zealous about this. Nothing. He was just a zealous person one way or the other. On Jesus' side, he was zealous. And then he was pretty zealous for the Lord, but he was just misunderstood. You know, he didn't understand things at first until Jesus showed up. He had a zealous personality. Like, I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to do this 110%. And, you know, until God corrected him, he did it and destroyed lives. But once he realized how he was doing it wrong, he changed his whole outlook and how he did things for the Lord.
But he thought he was working for the Lord. let's see. Yep. So yeah, I remember my dad just kept saying that, and really that just reminded me of what Paul said in so many scriptures, is the only thing that matters in this life is to focus on Jesus. It's the only thing that matters, and really nothing else matters except for to focus on Jesus and do what he has called us to do. And that is what made Paul's life and ministry a success. That's what brought the revelation, is because God knew he could trust him. God was able to bless Abraham with many, many children and ancestors because he saw he was able to trust him. Because he was willing to lay his life down, you know, by laying his son down, he was willing, and therefore God knew, okay, he loves me. He's keeping my commands. I can trust him. And so he started walking in success and blessing and, you know, just massive blessing in his life. Let's turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, I'm going to read verses 22 through 24. And now, this is Paul, now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit is telling me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. A real test to be obedient. You know, I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, next, you know, in this next month, which the Lord actually recently spoke to me, in this next, you know, month, you're going to start walking in a season of blessing. Well, praise the Lord, we all want to hear that, right? But it's leading up to that season wasn't a good season, you know, like you might have gone through a lot of hardships the last couple of years or whatever, and, you know, and so Paul, we see his life as blessed if you look at the large scope of things. We see his life is walking in the supernatural. He's got all this revelation, visits from Jesus. Who doesn't want all that, right? But are you willing to be thrown in prison, mobbed, left for dead, you know, in perils of this, in perils of that? Well, he was still willing to do it, even though the Holy Spirit was telling him this is what's coming. You know, that's laying your life down for the cause here. So I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me except that the Holy Spirit tells me city after city that jail and suffering are ahead. But my life is, again, he's saying the same thing. Isn't it interesting? He's preaching the same thing. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work that is assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And I'm just going to stop there, but whoa, he really had this revelation. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I scold my kids, I typically, and probably if you heard us, if you got to be a fly on the wall in our house, you'd be like, man, they yell a lot. Not like scolding necessarily, but calling out and reminding our children, because one of the teenagers is way upstairs, and one of the teenagers is way downstairs. And as you get older, you don't want to go all the way upstairs to talk to them, and you don't want to go all the way downstairs. So you just call their name until they answer. But anyways, when you're correcting a child, typically they don't respond the first time. Typically you got to tell them more than one time before they start saying, okay, you know. And I actually just did that with my son Jude tonight. I sat him down on his bed and I was like, what's the issue? Where are you learning this behavior from? Why aren't you just responding and being, you know, I don't know the word to say, but yeah, just being obedient to just listen. Why do you have to respond with some kind of little remark? Like, where is this coming from? And so I had to bring a little correction, and then he was willing, you know. Then I threatened, next time I'm just going to tell Dad and he can deal with you because he knows what's coming then. But anyways, the whole point is Paul was willing the first time, and he's like, no matter what comes, he said, nothing is going to move me from keeping the Lord my focus. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So, again, he's saying that same message. So, he's saying that nothing else really matters than you fulfilling the plan that God has for you. In other words, you can fill it with all the good things in life, but
we look at Hollywood and you can see that money's not an issue, but yet they're still trying to fill a void. And you see, you can even see them getting in trouble, getting thrown in jail and getting mixed up with drugs or alcohol or getting in car accidents or, you know, ruined marriages and all this. The stuff isn't fulfilling. It's the purpose that's fulfilling. It's the fulfillment of walking out what God has called you to. And the only way to do that is by not letting this thing or that thing distract you or detour you. God has placed on the inside of us gifts and callings and abilities. And we're given those gifts to honor God. We're given those gifts to pursue God. We're given those gifts to be a blessing to the body of Christ and to show others how to live and give to the Lord. Amen. So Paul used his gift to the best of his ability. Once he, you know, changed from Saul to Paul, he went full steam ahead. And he focused on Jesus and him crucified. He said, nothing else matters. And none of these things are going to move me. Matthew 6:33 is really key in a lot of ways. You know, obviously we hear it and we know it. Seek ye first. In other words, focus first on him. Focus first on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Focus first on pleasing God every day. And all these things that Paul's talking about mean nothing, mean dung. All these things that would be a distraction will just be added unto you. God wants to bless his kids. He's gonna take care of you. But sometimes we get it the other way around and people seek the things and not the giver of the gifts. Seek the giver and those blessings will just follow you. They'll overtake you, in fact, the Word of God says. And a huge part of those blessings is just joy and peace and the fruits of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. You don't have those. Hollywood does not have that because their focus is not on Jesus. And a lot of Christians don't even have that because their focus is not every day on the Lord. And we need to make it. We need to make that adjustment. We need to realize if we want a successful life, if we want a successful ministry, we see what Paul was saying here, then we need to follow his example. Or like the Lord said about following in footsteps, we need to follow in his footsteps. He wrote it and allowed him to write a lot of the word for our example so that we would follow it. And we just need to do it. We just need to do it so that we can see God work in our lives and walk out the fulfillment that he has for us. Colossians 3, 1 through 3, when I'm studying the word, I read like 10 versions of each scripture just because I want to see what jumps out at me or the way the Lord's saying it to me, because it'll come to me in my spirit and then I'll look it up in that way. So anyways, the Colossians 3, 1 through 3 amplified version is powerful. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, in other words, you have this new life and sharing in his resurrection from the dead. Like, we just had Easter. That was Resurrection Sunday. That was us celebrating that we have this new life. We're celebrating because we are a part of the family of God because of the resurrection from the dead, okay? So he's saying here, now that you have this new life and you are partaking and sharing in his resurrection from the dead, he says this, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated. In other words, keep Jesus your focus at the right hand of God. Then he says, set your mind and keep focused habitually, I love that, on things above, heavenly things. So, since you became born again, our job, our assignment, the Lord is saying here, is to no longer focus on the things of this world. And I'm not just talking about sin, I'm just talking about even the blessings of God, that should not be our focus. He's our focus, like he says in Matthew 6:33, and those things will just follow you because you're a child of God. You walk in his inheritance. And he's a king. And kings are blessed. Amen? So a child of a king is going to be blessed. But we got to keep him our focus. So he says, I love that. Keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on things above, heavenly things, not on the things of this earth, which only have temporal value. And that's what Paul called dung. That he says is pointless, it's fruitless, it's not going to do anything for the kingdom of heaven. You know, so let those things that are going to pass away, even though they might be a blessing here on earth, let those things not be your number one focus, but let him seated at the right hand of the Father and heavenly things, let that be your focus. For you have died to that kind of life. Don't be jealous about the things in the world that people have. You've died to that life. That life is going to pass away for them, and it will pass away for you too. The real purpose that we are here is to focus on Jesus and to live to please him. For you died to this life, this world, it says, and your new life is hidden with Christ in God. If you want to experience Jesus and you want to experience his supernatural power like Paul did, we need to do the thing that he keeps preaching over and over and over. He says, I do this one thing. I make a decision to focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified to where nothing else matters. I have died to this life, and my real life is now hidden in Christ Jesus. My purpose is hidden in Christ Jesus. I get my commands daily from Christ Jesus. My footsteps are ordered of the Lord by Christ Jesus. I mean, consumed. I love that. Where you keep focused habitually, like constantly. Lord, what is going to bring you glory here? Lord, what should I do regarding this decision? Lord, you're welcoming him into every single decision that you make. You cannot go overboard with this. You cannot go overboard with this because God wants to bless you and God wants you to seek him first. He's not going to be like, oh, you know, you don't need to seek me on that. I would ask my dad anything. So why not ask our Heavenly Father just anything? It matters to him. Amen? He cares about what's going on in your life, and he cares about what you're doing for him. So just ask him, invite him in on any decision. Why? Why should we do that? Well, because if you want that kind of life that God wants for you, then he says, just focus on me. Amen? For we've died to this life, and our new life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This phrase ran across my path while I was studying, and I thought, wow, that is good. So it's just a phrase, just a saying. There was no author, but I was like, that really kind of hit home the whole message, and it's this. What consumes your mind controls your life. If Jesus is not consuming your mind, you cannot claim that he has control of your life. Isn't that powerful? I was like, whoa. So if Jesus isn't what's on my mind, if I'm not habitually focusing on him, it's actually not him or his spirit that's in control of my life. If my focus is on my flesh, and what my flesh craves, or what my flesh, whether even if it's not sin, if what my flesh yearns to do, which is to sleep or to eat or to watch the show or to hang out with friends, or, you know, they might not any of it be sin, but if that is where my focus is, that's the flesh, and that is what's going to consume my time. Now, it might not be sin, like I said, and many people think they're just fine and dandy, and they might be, unless they want to live the kind of life that God intended for them. Unless they want to live a life full of the power and the Spirit of God. If you want that, then we need to follow in his footsteps that Paul laid out for us and do this one thing. Focus on him. Amen? Doesn't that put that into perspective? Like, whoa, whatever consumes my mind controls my life. So let's let him be our focus. And just trust that when we're letting him be our focus, he's going to lead and guide and direct our footsteps, our time. He's going to direct our lives and what we're accomplishing for him in the kingdom of heaven. And he may show you things to come by his Spirit, which he will, as you're focusing on him. And with Paul's case, it didn't mean everything was going to be fine and dandy all the way along. Because like we said, we know he was shipwrecked, mobbed, left for dead. That was all smack dab in the will of God. So it doesn't mean it's everything's going to be, like my dad would say, like a ripe cherry falling out of the tree. I don't know what that means, but it was always said in that context. I just laughed. It's not always going to be smooth sailing, right? It's not always going to be smooth sailing. Even with Jesus on the boat with the disciples, there was storms that arose. But did they continue to fulfill the plan of God? Yes, they did. God brought them over to the other side. So we just need to trust, and that's what Paul must have trusted. He's like, none of these things move me because God's always brought me out. He brought me to the other side of this or that. So just trust. If God did it before, he brought you out of a situation, he'll do it again, and just keep pressing forward to what lies ahead. Amen? Hallelujah. So just keep Jesus our focus. Hallelujah. We're going to take up our offering, and then I want us to focus on Jesus. Let's just spend some time in prayer tonight. Since he allowed me to get through that really fast, and I actually was planning on praying tonight.